It is such a blessing when you have the time to make it out for pre-service prayer. Praise God. There is such a time of refreshing and focusing and getting all of that craziness of Sunday morning and the world and the week. It's an incredible time. So praise God. Here's my plug for pre-service prayer. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Lesson three today, New Horizons. We're going to talk about Rebecca and Rahab. Of all the two people, they didn't just pick two ladies that have the name R. There's a reason for it today. New Horizons. We're going to look at our focus verse, which is Proverbs 4 and 18. Proverbs 4 and 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, doesn't that just make a whole lot of sense to you this morning? Let me read that in the Amplified. Give you a little bit more volume, if nothing else. All right. But the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn. Anybody get up this morning and see the sunrise? I'm raising my hands just so that you'll raise your hands, but I didn't see it either. But the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer, until it reaches full strength and glory in the perfect day. The perfect day. The path of the just, the way of the just, the way that they walk will start out like the sunrise. And if they continue uncompromisingly, that's a whole lot of syllables. If they continue, it will continue to be the full brightness of the day. Praise God. It may start out like something small but beautiful and turn into a full, glorious day, full of strength and glory, and a perfect day. Amen. Praise God. Today is going to be a perfect day. Yes. Amen. Praise God. It's starting out good. We're starting out in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Our lesson text, if you want to read those later, Genesis 24 is going to be talking about Rachel. And then in Joshua 2, is where the story of Rahab comes from. Joshua 2, Joshua 6. Our focus thought today, faith allows one to leave the old life and walk toward new horizons in God's plan. God's plan for you. God has a plan for you. Amen. Amen. There was a plan for each and every one of us today. Faith allows us to leave the old things behind and to walk like the just into that new horizon, God's plan for us. And We have little points along the way that we get excited about, things that we are able to accomplish in Him, and we see, okay, this is the next step, and we see this is the next step, but we don't get to see it all. And that's where faith comes in. We get to walk by faith and to see God's full plan fully accomplished in our lives. Praise God. In our culture connection, Take the Plunge. Has anybody ever seen Take the Plunge? There was a fundraiser that went around here a few years back where I was crazy enough to dive into the Kenai River in the middle of winter and for a fundraiser. Would I do it today? Probably not. It's just cheaper to give and less taxing on the body. And you probably won't die by getting swept down current. Somehow we managed not to die in that Take the Plunge challenge right down there at Smiley Rock where the current will take you down the river. Amen. If you're going to do that, dive upstream. That's the key right there. Just in case, dive upstream. All right. Take the plunge is an idiom in the English language with which many would be familiar. Take the plunge. Take the plunge. If you take the plunge, you decide to do something or commit yourself, even though you know there's an element of risk involved. Whether finally deciding to marry after a long engagement or quitting a job to pursue a business startup you have been dreaming about for years, or the decision to take the plunge, it's a nerve-wracking decision at times to take the plunge. Someone once said, the way to spell faith is R-I-S-K. Risk. But those that know God, those that trust Him, have learned to trust Him, it takes a lot of the risk out of it, because He is true to His word. He keeps His promises. The longer we serve Him, the more we know that. At first, it looks like huge risks to leap off of that cliff when God asks you to leap. But the longer we serve Him, we realize that He has come through every single time. He has asked us to do something. God has been there. Amen. The writer of Hebrews told us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, in Hebrews 11:1. Faith sometimes requires us to believe something that cannot be seen with the human eye, or to expect something to happen for which we have no concrete proof. To step out in faith and believe God for the impossible is a little like standing on a high diving board, looking down at the pool. How high is a high dive? It's high. It's higher than I want to jump off of. I don't think I've ever gone up that. Besides, there's stairs involved. Who wants to do stairs, right? Like, what's wrong with these people? They climb all the way up there. It's like getting in an airplane and jumping out. Like, it's a perfectly good airplane, and eventually it's going to land, right? But, you know, fly up there, pay all that money, and then jump out of it. That just doesn't make any sense at all. Either way, gravity will take its force, and you will eventually hit the ground. Right? Parachute or not, you're coming down. So, standing up on this diving board, looking down into this pool, there is anxiety. There is some risk involved. Because there could be a belly flop at the bottom, right? And if I'm doing it, probably that's what's going to happen, right? And so you're looking down, you have the anxiety. That's kind of what faith is like. But then when you actually do it, when you actually take the plunge, actually leap off of that high dive board, there is an exhilaration and an excitement and a realization that I didn't die, right? Everything's going to be okay, and I landed okay, and God's got this. And there is an excitement when we step out in faith and actually see God's hand at work in our lives. It's an incredible feeling. It totally overwhelms and supersedes any of the fear or the risk that we even thought about. Right? And then we go, why in the world didn't we do that sooner? Why in the world did I not step out in faith when God told me to go speak to that person 3 years ago? Why didn't I do that? Because when I finally did, their heart was open and ready. It was probably open and ready 3 years ago had you listened to God, right? And we doubt ourselves. We doubt whether or not God will come through, and we take the step of faith, and we look at it sometimes as R-I-S-K. But we need to take the plunge today. Take the plunge. Amen. It will be worth it all. Contemplating the topic today, two people have who contributed to God's plan could have not been or could not be more of a contrast than Rebecca and Rahab. There's a contrast here. Rebecca, a virgin, lived in Haran. Rahab, a harlot who lived in Jericho. Neither Rebekah nor Rahab could have anticipated what God had in store for them. They both surrendered to God's plan that thrust them into roles of righteousness, and that is a challenge for you and I today, to surrender to the will of God. No matter what our background is, no matter where we came from, no matter where we're at necessarily in our walk with God today, our challenge is to surrender to the will of God for our lives and to step into that righteousness, His righteousness, and the plan that He has for you and I. Amen. Amen. It's a challenge, but man, when you take that step, what an awesome feeling to know that you're in the perfect will of God. What an awesome feeling. Amen. Praise God. Rebekah was a believer. She was born into a family that respected and worshiped the one true God. Rahab, in contrast, was surrounded by idolatry. Rebekah was the grandniece of Abraham. What a heritage. What a heritage. I'm thankful for my heritage. You know, you can kind of have a, I really wish that I had that testimony where God brought me out of all this stuff. And, you know, I just wish that I had the same testimony as the drug addict that God delivered from. No. I'm thankful that God kept me. And I think my testimony is just as powerful as one who is delivered. Amen. And Rebekah had that testimony. She had a great heritage. She had a great heritage. Rebekah's father was Bethuel, son of Nahor, Abraham's brother. Interesting. Abraham, who had previously immigrated from this area to the land of Canaan, approximately 500 miles south of Haran, ordered his eldest servant to go to Haran and find among his kindred a wife for his son Isaac. 500 miles south. Now, just for the fun of it, I used Google. The average camel caravan travels about 25 miles per day. And a camel in a caravan walks about 10 miles per hour. The distance from Sterling to Fairbanks is almost 500 miles. Right? Could you imagine? Hey, why don't you just jump on your camel and head up to Haran and find a wife for my son? It's only 500 miles. At 25 miles per day, 20 days on the back of a camel to find a wife. Praise God. That right there, that is commitment. That is commitment. So next time you want to experience that journey, or if you're looking for a wife, get on that camel and take them camels all the way to Fairbanks, and then maybe the Lord will lead you to that perfect wife. Praise God. Just anybody's receiving that word, receive it today. All right. Rebekah, though an insignificant maiden, had an amazing pedigree. As the grandniece of Abraham, she was kin to scriptural nobility. Rebekah was already privileged to be influenced by those who believed in the one true God. I'm so thankful that I was surrounded by people that believed in the one true God. Family members, grandparents, uncles, aunts. I'm so thankful for that. Rahab, on the other hand, was living in Jericho. The harlot who lives on the wall. That was her distinction. This is all we know of her until two Hebrew spies knocked on her door. Incredible. Just the harlot who lives on the wall. The Israelites had finally stopped wandering, finally, after 40 years, the Israelites were finally ready to enter the land promised to Abraham and his seed. Joshua sent two men to spy out the city of Jericho. And whose door do they knock on? But Rahab. Rahab. These two spies. Expecting, probably not spies, she was probably expecting customers. Right? This was Rahab's life. But yet, two spies showed up at her home. She had an easy choice to make. Am I faithful to Jericho? Or do I give these spies a place to hide? We wonder a little bit about her motives in this, but we'll see it here very quickly. The threat came. Show us where these spies are. She's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Hid the spies. And we see in Joshua 2:11, Rahab spoke to the spies, letting them know that the inhabitants of the city had heard how the Lord had dried up the Red Sea when they had left Egypt, and how the Israelites had slain two kings of the Amorites. Perhaps because of these things that she had heard, Rahab had come to believe in God, or at least that he was a powerful God, able to do the miraculous. She told the spies in Joshua 2:11, "The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." There was a God moment in her life where she heard the wonderful works of God. And it changed her perspective, whether or not she was just simply fearful of her life or actually started to fear the God that they served. Either way, there was a God moment in her life that changed her actions and changed her future. Praise God. The spies promised her and her family safety if they would bind a scarlet thread or a cord in her window as a sign when they invaded her city. Like, we're coming. This is what you can do. There's something that you can do to be saved. Praise God. So as Rebekah had the pedigree, being of the extended family of Abraham, Rahab was a nobody. Until she became a follower of the Lord, she was a heathen employed in immorality in a pagan city. Rebekah represented a type of the Jews, and Rahab represented a type of the Gentiles who enjoyed the extended arm of God in salvation. Rebekah represented Jews who had an inside track by being chosen people of God and received God's promises, and Rahab represented Gentiles who were not a people, but became a people. Praise God. Praise God. New horizons. Rebekah, what a difference a day makes. How many times did Rebekah go and get water and do her chores every day? Do you ever have those God moments or God days where yesterday was horrible or just blah? Just plain. Just average, nothing new, nothing fancy, and the next day you wake up and the answer to prayer is there. Life-changing events occur, and it's just another day. Or you think it's going to be just another day. Well, that was Rebekah's day. I'm going to get up, I'm going to do my chores, the things that I need to do. I'm just going to go get water, because that's what I do. And in the process, she runs into Eliezer. He prayed, "Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she shall say, 'Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also,' let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master." Now that's a prayer of faith. And a specific prayer of faith. You know, "Lord, let there be a woman at the well." right? Anyone, Lord. I've traveled 500 miles on a camel. Just please, somebody that's interested in getting married, let them be there. No, no, no. A very specific prayer. I think it's okay to be specific in our prayer. God, I need this specifically in my life. And I know God knows exactly what you need. But sometimes he wants you to verbalize it. Right? He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows what's in there. But get it out. Speak it. Praise God. Speak it in prayer. And God will come through. Praise God. Speak it in faith. God will come through. And so he speaks it. I want this to happen. And it didn't happen that way, and that's the end of the story, and you can all go home. No, that's not. No, God answered prayer. That's exactly what happened. You know what's... He was asking, how much can you drink after being parched? A few glasses of water? You know what he was asking of this maiden? By asking God about this specific need, not just give me water, but feed my camels. So she volunteered, we know that. She volunteered not only to give him drink, but to draw water to give to his 10 camels. Google also helped me with this. A camel can drink 30 gallons in 13 minutes. She's drawing water out with a pitcher. And she has 10 camels. What were you thinking, Eliezer? This is going to take a while. Guess what? During all of that time, there's plenty of time to communicate. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. To cast vision. Amen. To speak faith. Praise God. During the times where we're busy and we're working, there's opportunity for God to minister and work in your life. Praise God. Amen. We need to be open and willing to work, because during those times, God will deal with us. Praise God. Amen. 30 gallons in 13 minutes. That's crazy. And so they set up for the visitor. He's going to stay there for a little bit. But he's traveled a long distance, and he is a little bit antsy about getting back. God answered the prayer. It's time to go. And so he says, "We need to get back. We need to return to my master." And the family responded by this request by saying, in so many words, "Not so fast." Right? We don't know you that well. We know where you came from, you know, family and everything. But still, you're wanting to take our daughter on a 500-mile camel ride to marry somebody that we've never met, you know. And so, Genesis 24:55, "Let the damsel abide with us for a few days, at least 10. After that, she can go." Abraham's servant refused to be deterred, saying, "Hinder me not." He knew he was in the will of God. Prayer had been answered specifically. He knew exactly that he was in the will of God. They agreed to let Rebekah decide the time of her departure. They asked her, "Will thou go with this man?" And she said, "No, I need to wait for a little while and see how this goes. Maybe, no. She says, "I will go." Very simply, "I will go." When God asks, "Will you do?" What do? Hang on, God. It's a busy week. My schedule's kind of full this week. I don't know what's going on. Got to crawl around in the rafters of the church for a little bit, breathe insulation. I got a lot of things to do, God. When God asks you to do something, our response needs to be, "I will go." Note Rebecca's willingness to accept what she felt to be the right thing to do. Without hesitation, she said, "I will go." Many of you are faced with such a monumental decision would have asked for some time to think it over. It would have not have been unusual for Rebecca to have said, give me a week or two, or let me think about it for a little while. It was obvious. She was convinced this was the will of the Lord for her, for there was no indication of hesitancy. New horizons are not attained without taking risks. You think it was a risk for her? Absolutely. Isaac could have been a tyrant, a horrible person. That probably helped a little bit, yes. And isn't it amazing when we step out in faith, God will bless us? Isn't it incredible? That is very true. That there was much to do with that. I'm going. This looks great. This looks like a great opportunity. But the will of the Lord was so important. I'm going to do this without hesitation, even with bribery. There are times that it feels like God has to bribe us to get us to do something. Okay, fine. I'll answer this prayer, and I'll give you a little hint. The fleece. How many times are we going to fleece? I'm going to fleece some more. I'm going to do a little bit more fleecing. Okay, God, one more time. Really, if you really, 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 really want me to go, I'm going to fleece one more time. Okay, right. That's just in our nature. It's in our nature. I want to get to the point where I just say, okay, I'll go. And thanks for the jewels. I'll go. Praise God. Usually, God does not show us everything we will encounter, which is good, because a lot of those things would scare us off. Some of the things that people have gone through when answering the call of God, would they have gone through it had they known every trial and every hardship and every situation that was almost going to destroy them, yet did not because the hand of God was on them, would they go had they saw everything? I don't know. That's a question you got to ask yourself. Would I go if I know there's going to be hardships? But God does not show us everything. We have to step out by faith and trust Him. Has He ever failed you? Has He ever let you down? No. Have you ever been disappointed in your walk with God? And don't lie to me on this one. Yeah, we have had disappointments in our life. We have had hardships in our life. But at the end of the day, God always comes through. Always. And He will not put on you anything more than you can bear. That's the God that we serve. Praise God. But we have to learn to step out in faith, take a little bit of risk, and trust Him. God may not show us the valleys in advance, but it's those areas where we're going to spend most of our experience. Look at this great thing I want you to do. God's speaking to you. Look at this great thing I want you to do. This is going to be incredible. It's going to change the world. It's going to change this area. Look at what I'm calling you to do. And it's mountaintop, 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 mountaintop. That's what we can see. But in order to get to those mountaintops, you have to spend most of your time in valleys and climbing. Yeah, exactly. But where are you going to be nourished the most? In the valley. In the valley. There's no food or sustenance on that exciting mountaintop. Be lucky if there's still a flag from somebody that planted it there. That's it. You're not going to eat that. You're going to have to go back to the valley to get fed and nourished and water and grow. So that happens in the valley. But God doesn't always show us the valley experiences. If we will trust Him on the mountaintops, He will see us through the valleys. Praise God. Rahab, after wandering 40 years in the wilderness, Israel paused on the east bank of the Jordan River. ready to cross into the land promised to Abraham and to his seed. It seems like God often puts water between the world and his people. When God called Abraham to leave his family for a new horizon, Abraham had to cross the Euphrates River for Ur. Right? On the north side, that was on the north side of the river. Crossing the Euphrates River, he became the first Hebrew. For the word Hebrew means one from beyond, or comes from the root word meaning to cross over. Praise God. And so, when Joshua refers to your fathers dwelling on the other side of the flood in old time in Joshua 24:2, he was referring to Abraham's existence in Ur. As God put the flood between Noah and the wicked world, as Abraham had to cross the Euphrates, as Israel had to cross the Red Sea, and as Israel had to cross the Jordan River, believers today must put the water of baptism between the world and themselves. New horizons always involve leaving the old behind and crossing over to the new. Praise God. Hallelujah. Crossing over to the new. Little did Jericho or Israel know the strategy God had planned. He told Joshua and Israel to march around the city once each day for 6 days, and on the seventh day to march around seven times. After the seventh time around, on the seventh day, the priests were to blow their trumpet and everyone would shout. When the people followed God's instructions, the walls fell flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Praise God. Because of her belief in God, Rahab not only assisted Israel in its conquest of Jericho, but she was able to save herself and her family. It is noteworthy that she believed in the one true God, but it is also noteworthy that she was able to influence the rest of her family. The rest of her family. Not only to join her in her home, but apparently to join her in her belief. How much faith was required to believe the stories of two strangers? Obviously, Rahab had to do a lot of believing, not only to accept such a story from two strangers, but also to risk her life in hiding the spies. If she were caught by the king's men, could you imagine what would happen to her? Rahab also manifested faith in telling her family, who believed her and assembled in her house on that fateful day. Now, these two were both in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? Two backgrounds could not be more different. Yet, they were both in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Both Rebekah and Rahab left their homes for new lives. No one ever moves forward without leaving something behind. Right? We could all tell stories of the things that we have left behind as we journeyed with Christ. And most of those were not worth keeping. Some of those were family members. Hard choices, difficult decisions. Yet, in order to move forward, we sometimes need to leave things behind. Old habits, old addictions, old things that bound us. Moving forward requires leaving things behind. When we vacate an area, something is left behind. As Rebekah vacated Haran and Rahab vacated Jericho, they left everything behind. They not only left behind their homes and their families physically, but they also left behind their pasts. All Rebekah knew was Haran. She was probably comfortable and happy there, but being happy in Haran is not always what God has planned for you and I. Sometimes it takes leaving Haran and home to find His will for our lives. It is always easier to hold on to what you know rather than letting go and reaching for something that you don't know. That's the faith factor. That's the risk factor. Right? This is the reason many people do not respond properly to new truth that is revealed to them. They may see the validity of new truth, light bulb moments in those Bible studies, but it is difficult to let go of what they know, especially if it includes traditions they and their family have held for years. Sometimes it's very difficult to let go of some things in our past or in our lives. As Rebekah and Rahab left their homes for new lives, people seeking the Lord today must be willing to leave old habits for new lifestyle. There is no way for individuals to come to the Lord and remain in their old habits and in their old lifestyle and enjoy their new life in Jesus. It is hard to live for God easy, yet it is easy to live for God hard. If we put our all into it, He makes living for Him easy. Amen. Makes our burden light. Praise God. Amen. Now, both were included in the lineage of Jesus Christ. When she left Haran and home for everything strange and unfamiliar, it probably seemed she was leaving the significant for the insignificant. But Rebekah was to be a key player in the drama of redemption. For Jesus was a descendant of Rebekah. If we fail to surrender to God's divine will for our lives, God will still have a church and will accomplish His purpose with or without you or I. But we will be the ones that miss out. Right? For this reason, we need to yield to God's will and enjoy the best life that can be experienced. Praise God. Is there any witnesses in the house this morning that can say this is the best life to live? Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the best life to live. Praise God. Am I leaving all of the fun of the world? And am I just missing out on so much destruction in my life? Am I missing out on all of that fun stuff to be here today? Absolutely not. This is the best life that I can live. Praise God. With God. Amen. Praise God. Once they decided to yield to God's plan, there was no going back. And that needs to be our mindset today. Once you decide to live for God, don't even make it an option to go back. Don't even make it an option to go back. I will not go back. I will not turn around. No matter what comes my way, I've got God by my side. He is living inside and I can make it. Just make that determination in your mind right now. I will not turn around. Luke 9:62. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Praise God. I want to be fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. Rahab had absolutely no idea how significant her decision was. She was thinking, I'm going to be saved from destruction because they're going to destroy the city. I'm going to be saved. And no. She was put right into the lineage of Christ. Of all the houses in Jericho where the spies could have stopped, God chose a house of ill repute. Of all the people He could have used, He chose a woman whose reputation was the lowest. We know habits, but God knows hearts. For this reason, we must be slow to pass judgment on situations we know nothing about. God often works plans that are quite involved and difficult to understand until they come to fruition. He gives us little snippets, maybe just the next step that we're going to take. But when God finally puts His whole plan together, it makes so much sense. And it is such a blessing and life-changing event when God brings that plan to fruition, if we will just trust Him step by step. Praise God. Have the faith. But I don't have faith for this big plan that God has. Do you have faith for the next step? God, I don't see how this is all going to work out. But I'm going to have enough faith to take one more step. Take one more step. And you'll see each step that you take in faith, God will keep His promises. And so every step, even though you may not have all the faith you need for the big picture, you may have enough faith for one step, but each step increases your faith because God answers every step of the journey. You can have the faith you need for the big picture by the time you get there. Praise God. Just trust and take that small little risk and take a step. Take a step. Praise God. Amen. True faith never lives alone. It is always accompanied by actions. Rebecca, yeah, I believe this is the will of God for my life. I'm going to stay here, though. Rahab, yeah, I'd like to be saved, but man, do you know how hard it is to find red cord? No. If at all possible, she was hunting it down. I don't care the cost. I don't care how hard it is to find. I'm going to get red and I'm going to put it in the window. Right? And so faith never lives alone. It always is accompanied by actions. Actions. James recorded, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. It took faith and action. Faith and action. Our faith in Jesus. If our faith is in Jesus and we trust Him explicitly, we do not have to know the future. Did you hear that? Do you believe that? Do you struggle with that? Understanding God is not necessary for believing Him. We will not always understand God's process. We will not always understand God's plan or how it's all going to work out. But that is not what's important. What's important is our faith in Him and believing that He is going to fulfill His promise and fulfill His plan in your life. And our job is to yield to His will, submit to His will, and believe in Him. And having faith along with action, it will be accomplished. Praise God. It will be accomplished in you. And we must walk towards new horizons, believing that in every situation, He will take care of you. Praise God. He will take care of you. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Yes. Absolutely. Right. Praise God. It is the best life. Praise God. Amen. When we will step out and do what God has asked us to do, it is a life like no other life. We are blessed. We have so many blessings. I couldn't count them all today. Praise God. Of how good our God is to you and I. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. He is, of many things, He is a healer. Praise God. And we've got some needs today. We're going to continue to pray for the Wades. Amen. I believe that God can visit them in their room today and give strength and encouragement today in Jesus' name. We're going to continue to pray for Thomas and Amelia, our two chipmunks this morning. Praise God. had a bunch of dental work, and they're still a little puffy today, in Jesus' name. We're going to pray for Sister Stella, Sister Marilyn. William is having a biopsy on Monday. We need to continue to pray in Jesus' name. God has got his hand in this situation. Praise God. Amen. He knows the outcome already. We need to continue to pray for Sister Esther. And Sister Abbott is not feeling well this morning. In Jesus' name. Yes, Brother Cliff. Your son? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody have any lost family that needs to return to church? Praise God. Uncle Ken. Yes, he is recovering. Actually talked to him the other day. His head's starting to clear up a little bit. And now the body just needs to heal. In Jesus' name. But God is continuing to do a miraculous work. So thankful what God has already done in his life and will continue to do. In Jesus' name. Praise God. And Marie Garcia. And Marie Garcia. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Sister Sherry. Sister Ross as well. In Jesus' name. Brother David. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, bring peace into that situation. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God. If you can remember a few of these today, we'll pray together. In Jesus' name.